Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today and understanding the prophecies of the end time. Now, we are told by Jesus Christ that we are to watch. We are told by Jesus Christ to study to show ourselves approved. We are told that in the book of Daniel that at the end time, the prophecies would be understood by the wise, and the wise are those who love God and keep His commandments. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. And we've been going through highlighting an overview of the book of Revelation and the events leading up to the return of Jesus Christ. Now, we have on cbcg.org, we have a whole series of sermons. Or you can write us and we'll send them to you on CDs. And we have charts showing the various and different days. It is in great detail. What we're giving here is just an overview. Now, for people who are not familiar with the Bible, this will seem like what we've been going through is pretty heavy and detailed stuff. Well, in some ways it is, but there are many more details to add to it. And as we have seen, the key to understanding the prophecies and the key to knowing God's plan are the Sabbath and the holy days of God. Now, if you don't know those and you don't keep those, then the Bible becomes a mystery to you. You'll never understand it. And when it becomes a mystery, then someone will say, oh, well, all the Old Testament has been done away. You know, after all, it's old. And people will think, well, yeah, that's right. We have the New Testament and we have Jesus. Well, yes, that's right. But all of that is not true. All of that is a make-believe reality that sounds good, that sounds true, but it's not. So just like the events leading up to the return of Jesus Christ. Now, we've covered a lot of territory here, haven't we? And we've come through six of the trumpet plagues. The last three are called the woes. First woe, fifth trumpet. Second woe, sixth trumpet, heralding great and awesome wars to take place on this earth, all preparatory for the return of Christ, all preparatory for the resurrection, because it's going to climax with the return of Christ and the saints to the earth, but there is going to be one more thing that's going to take place. Actually, two, the resurrection and the seven last plagues. So if you think that the seven seals and the seven trumpet plagues have had horrendous things take place, wait until we get to the seven last plagues. So let's pick it up where we left it off before. We finished with Revelation, the ninth chapter. Now, chapter 10 is quite a chapter, and I will let you read that on your own. Sufficient to say that the seven thunders that are spoken of here in Revelation 10 are so horrific and so indescribable in their power and the magnitude of the effect upon men and the earth that God told John, don't write. Now, here's the key to understanding. No one knows what they are. We're not told. John didn't write about it. So if anyone says, oh, I know what the seven thunders are, don't pay any attention to them because God never revealed what it was. So how can he know unless God has revealed it in his word? And I've seen many stories and tales about, oh, I understand this, it looks like it's this, it looks like it's that. We just have to admit, this is one of the things that God did not let us know what it really is, because it's so horrendous. Then we come to chapter 11, which is kind of an inset chapter, but then it catches us up to the seventh trumpet, or the third woe. Now, the first part of it has to do with the two witnesses. Now, I'll give some special sermons concerning the two witnesses, because there are other prophecies in the Old Testament that identify who they are. Now, let's understand another thing concerning the Word of God. No man is going to appoint himself to be one of the two witnesses, or like one man said, well, I'm one of the two witnesses, and this certain man who was a great apostle of God who died recently is going to be resurrected on such and such a day. Well, guess what? He wasn't resurrected on that day. So people came to him and said, now, how is it that you're one of the two witnesses, but you said that this other man would be resurrected on such and such a day and be the second witness, but he wasn't resurrected? Well, he said, well, I guess I'm going to have to do the work of the two witnesses. Really? So how's he going to do that? One man gave the answer. Well, he can speak out of both sides of his mouth. So we'll cover the two witnesses at the appropriate time. But in order to get the story flow from the end of the sixth trumpet plague to the seventh trumpet plague, we'll pick it up here in verse 14 of Revelation 11. Now, this becomes important to understand because it involves the seventh trumpet, and that's when the resurrection takes place. Verse 14, Revelation 11. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming immediately. Then the seventh angel sounded his trumpet. Now, we're going to see the phrase, the last trumpet, or the last trump. Now, let me tell you this. The only place in the entirety of the Bible where it lays out a specific number of trumpets is Revelation. It lays out the seven trumpet plagues, doesn't it? Seven angels, seven trumpet plagues, right? Yes. Which one is the last one? Could be none other than the seventh. Now, that has to be mentioned because people confuse the Feast of Trumpets as the day of the resurrection when it's not, because trumpets were to be blown on the Feast of Trumpets. But how many and how long were not told from Leviticus 23, and besides, on that day, if it's at the last trumpet and the day runs from sunset to sunset, and the last trumpet sounds, the day is over. And so you couldn't have anybody being resurrected on the Feast of Trumpets because the day would be over. So when is it sounded? What pictures the first resurrection? Who are those in the first resurrection? Well, we'll cover this in summary and we'll go into it in detail at a later time. But let's read it again here. Then the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign into the ages of eternity. Bam! Now, title is transferred from Satan, the devil, and men to Jesus Christ, and he is coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, let's see what's going to happen here. Let's read the rest of it. And the 24 elders who sit before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who is and who was and who is to come, for you have taken to yourself your great power and have reigned. Now, the reign of God is going to begin, but it's going to begin in a way that men have not understood. Now, you would think that everyone on earth would be happy. Oh, here comes Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? No, they're going to say, this is an invasion from outer space. See how they react. Verse 18, for the nations were angry, and your wrath is come, and the time for the dead to be judged, and to give reward to your servants, the prophets, to the saints, and to all those who fear your name, small and great, and to destroy them who destroy the earth. This tells us that this is the resurrection when we combine it with other scriptures. Now let's come back to Matthew 24, and let's pick up the rest of the story, where the sign of the Son of Man is like the second sun out there, circling the earth from east to west, just like the sun. He says here, verse 30, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man, then all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming upon clouds of heaven with great power. So that sign of the Son of Man is like the sun, shining from the east to the west, verse 27. And it's out there. Then suddenly something is going to take place. What is that going to be? All of a sudden, in the middle of all of this, the seventh trumpet sounds. The dead are going to be raised. So just before the seventh trumpet sounds, here comes this sun coming closer and closer and closer to the earth, and now all of a sudden, whoo! It'll disappear, and it will become a great sea of glass hovering right over Jerusalem. Now, why the sea of glass? Because that's where the saints are going to be taken who are resurrected. So let's read it here. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. We're going to see, Paul says, it is the last trump. And the only place you can find the last trump is in Revelation 11 when the seventh trumpet sounds. So they all come together at this point. And coming together at this point, we need to understand that all of those in the first resurrection are called the first fruits of God. And the feast of first fruits is Pentecost. So when this trumpet is sounded, it will be on the day of Pentecost, but the day of Pentecost as understood by God the Father because of all of the chaos that has taken place with the shaking of the heavens and the earth. Now notice, verse 31, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. All the saints are going to be resurrected. Now, will the world see this? What a witness to the world. Yes, the angels come and they see all of the saints resurrected, taken up into the first heaven where the clouds are, where the sea of glass is. Now, let's come to 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. Let's see how it's listed here. Very similar. Then it talks about something and adds to it. This is why we need to put all the scriptures together to understand it. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, exactly in the same way also, those who have fallen asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, a lot of people misread that, and they say, well, we're all in heaven and we're coming with him. No, the question is, when do we get with Christ and when are we all brought to the earth? Not at this point. Not from heaven, because the resurrection takes place on earth and people are resurrected from the earth and the angels go out and gather them and take them where? To the sea of glass. We'll see that in just a little bit. Verse 16, because the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout of command and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. That's the seventh trumpet. We'll see in just a minute. Paul calls it the last trump. So he knew there was a sequence of trumpets. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. So they can't come with Christ until they rise and meet him in the air, right? Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds for the meeting with the Lord in the air. And so shall we always be with the Lord. So when he comes back to the earth, we will be with him. Now we're going to see this here in just a little bit. So this is going to be a startling event. And this is going to set the stage, as we will see, then for the seven last plagues. So the resurrection is pictured by the holy day of the first fruits, Pentecost. Now let's come back to 1 Corinthians 15. Let's see what the Apostle Paul says. Let's read, he's talking about it, and what will happen at the resurrection. Now we've covered some of these before, but let's go through it again. What are we going to be like? We have a physical body now. The natural body is first. The fleshly body is first. There is a physical body, there is a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is a heavenly body. Now, I want you to do this. I want you to give yourself a hug. That is, feel and make sure you're here. You're fleshly, right? I want you to understand that that is God's guarantee that if you have the Spirit of God, you will be resurrected from the dead or changed when Christ returns from flesh to spirit. Guarantee. You're walking around with a guarantee that you will make it into the kingdom of heaven. And that's something we all need to know, right? Yes, indeed. Verse 49, and as we have borne the image of the one made of dust, that is Adam, so shall we also bear the image of the heavenly one, that is Jesus Christ. Now you might go back and review what we did from a speck of dust to a son of God. Why were you born? Because now this is the operation of being born again. This is the complete transformation of the flesh to spirit. Let's read on. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot, and this in the Greek is oudunetai, the most improbable negation. It is impossible for flesh and blood to inherit the kingdom of God, because it's made for spirit beings. And unless we are transformed from flesh to spirit, we won't be in the kingdom of God. That's why the interpretation by Catholicism that the kingdom of heaven is where all the souls go, and the kingdom of God then is the domain of the Pope. Really? That's not found in the Bible anywhere. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all fall asleep, because there will be some who will still be alive when Jesus returns. We're not all going to die. But we shall be changed. God is able to do that. That's what it means to be born again. In an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Where do we find the last trumpet associated with the resurrection? We just read that in Revelation 11, right? And the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and it's a time to reward the dead, the small and great, and the prophets and the servants of God. That's the resurrection. That's the seventh trumpet. That ushers in the third woe, and the third woe, as we will see later, will be fulfilled with the seven last plagues. Now let's continue on here. In an instant, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That gonna be amazing? Now, all of this is based on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if you believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then you've got to believe in the resurrection. How can you possibly believe that souls go to heaven when they die? Nowhere does the Bible teach that. No one is in heaven right now. All right. For this corruptible must put on incorruptibility, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now when this corruptible shall have put on incorruptibility, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? And O grave, where is your victory? No, we're going to be harvested as the first fruits of God. Now let's come back here to Revelation 14, another event that takes place in the book of Revelation. And yet Christ and the saints are not on the earth yet. See, the resurrection must take place. We must meet Christ in the air as we're going to see on the sea of glass. Now, next time we'll talk about all the things that have to take place on the sea of glass. But let's read here verse 14. And I looked and beheld a white cloud, and one like the Son of Man sitting on the cloud and having a golden crown on his head, and in his hand was a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he who was sitting on the cloud thrust forth his sickle upon the earth, and the earth was reaped. And all the saints are resurrected. Now, I can't prove this absolutely dogmatically for sure, but I believe that God is going to let the world see this resurrection take place, because it's going to take place all around the world. It is going to be a fantastic day. It is going to be a day in which men are going to wonder, what is happening? What is this? We've heard there's a sea of glass there. What is this that people are coming out of their graves? They'll think it's an invasion from outer space. Look at, these are aliens, body snatching. We better be ready to fight the aliens because they're coming to control the earth. But you see, the truth is, God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the resurrected saints and the angels of God are aliens to people in this world. So they have it today now. Oh, well, they're aliens from outer space. Yes, we'll be up in the clouds. People will see us, we'll come down, we'll fight against them. But here the resurrection takes place. Now, let's come to chapter 15, verse 1. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and awesome, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is filled up. Now notice what else he saw. A vision to tell us when we're resurrected and meet Christ in the air, where are we going? Now we know the seven last plagues haven't been poured out yet, and that's going to take a period of time, as we will see when we get to the segment of the seven last plagues. But here it is. And I saw a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who'd gotten victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having the lyres of God. That is the harps, as some translations have it. And they were singing the song of Moses, the servant of God, song of the Lamb, saying, great and awesome are your works, Lord God Almighty, righteous and true are your ways, O King of saints. Moses and the Lamb, those who were the patriarchs and the few who came through the covenant that God made with Israel, and then all of those who came through Jesus Christ, all resurrected, all standing on the sea of glass. Now, we're going to have to leave you hanging in the air, and so we'll have to come back and finish the rest of the story next time. Now, remember, be sure and go to our other website, cbcg.org, and get our series on Daniel and Revelation, and order the book, God's Plan for Mankind, Revealed by His Sabbath and Holy Days. You need that book, and the CD that comes with it, which goes through in great detail outlining the whole plan of God from the Word of God, not the ideas of men, not the traditions of men, the Word of God, and the Word of God only. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Coulter, until next time, saying so long, everyone.